Okay, guys, I have a little secret. It is a slight confession. I do not want you to judge me because of this. However, it does have something to do with the topic that we're going to be talking about today. And so I kind of want to get this off my chest so that you can, kind of be with me on this little conversation that we're going to have today. Okay, here's the story. I sometimes get a little upset, and my confidence kind of dwindles slightly when men don't hit on me. I know that's crazy. Okay, it's silly. I know it's silly. But I mean, listen, ladies, I need you to comment down below. We all like, even if we don't really want the attention, we kind of want the attention sometimes just to confirm what we think we know about ourselves. And when it doesn't happen, it's kind of like, well, do I really know that about myself? Anyway, that's the confession. I sometimes get upset because I don't get hit on ever. Okay, I don't get hit on really. And when I get down on myself, I'll mention it to my husband, which I know you might also think is crazy, but trust me when I tell you, I am married to the least jealous man on the planet, at least as far as I can see, right? Maybe he feels it, just doesn't say it. I don't know, but it don't feel like he's really that jealous. Anyway, and what he will say a lot of the times is because he says I don't get hit on because of the way I carry myself. He said I carry myself like a married woman. So men don't hit on me because they, respect the marriage, right? They respect the ring. Sometimes there are men who don't respect the ring, but for whatever reason, they respect mine. I don't know, child. Don't have me lying. Sometimes I'll even tell my girlfriends about it, right? We'll like be talking and they'll talk about some guy that hit on them and blah, blah, blah. And then I'll come up with like, girl, nobody ever hit on me. Like, it's a little disturbing, like nobody ever hits on me. To which they will then reply, girl, you know better than that. Girl, it's the way you carry yourself. That's why. So, I guess, but this leads me to what I want to talk about today on the podcast, and that is self-awareness and microaggression, the relationship between the two. So, now, based on the observations of both my husband and my girlfriends, I started thinking about the various ways I am typically approached, right? So if I'm not being hit on, how am I typically being approached? Not just by men, but by people in general. And I came up with three different ways. Respectfully, that's how I'm most approached. People are very respectful. I'm also approached sometimes with curiosity. People don't really know what they're going to get, so they kind of are very trepidatious with it. Especially in like professional settings. And then there is that occasion when people approach me with reservation, and that is often by design. Maybe there has been a situation where I am presenting myself as someone who is not to be toyed with or played with. And so people will approach me with a little bit of, let me just kind of see what's going on here. When it comes to people approaching me with curiosity, however, I sometimes feel like, I don't sometimes, I am a very approachable person, but I think, like my husband said, like my girlfriend say, the way I present myself, the way I live my life, the reputation that may have preceded me, the consistencies in the way I show up on this earth have presented themselves prior to me meeting the person, talking to the person, or whatever. And so they have developed some expectations about our interactions prior to me being a part of it. So they might approach me with a little bit of curiosity, a little bit of, trepidation. But either way, these three reactions or approaches are kind of taken, they're kind of done because of my self-awareness, how I have done certain works to develop a specific framework to then create a personal operating system that allows me to be very consistent in my interactions. I have often said to people, I am the same all the time. You don't get different versions of Andrea. I am always the same, good, bad, or indifferent. You know what you're going to get with me. And so I think it's important for us to think about this when we are talking about microaggressions. And as a Black female, trust and believe, I have had my fair share of microaggressions on this planet. Now, the approaches that I get isn't to conclude that somehow I don't have to deal with microaggressions, because nothing could be farther from the truth. I deal with it a lot. All right. Especially where I live, who I interact with on a regular basis. It is very interesting how being in an area that is not predominantly minority, it is very common to be met with someone who believes what they're saying is innocent enough. However, it is riddled with microaggression. And we're going to talk about how I handle that in a little bit. But what I believe happens the majority of the time with respect to the way I am approached, with mostly respectfully, then a little bit of curiosity, and then a little bit of trepidation or reservation, I believe wholeheartedly that what is happening is that someone may try the whole microaggression thing once. And even if it's an innocent thing, they may get away with it once. They may say something to me or whatever that presents itself as a microaggression. But honey, trust and believe, it doesn't happen a second time with that same person. Mm-mm, nope, because your girl has done the work, okay? So what I'm telling you is that I have created this process, and I've talked about it often on the podcast about, you know, how do you become the CEO of you? How do you do the work, become self-aware, create your personal operating system so that it is recognizable by the people around you and they know how to operate the system, right? Like they know how to interact with the system. Well, the truth is, even though I have come up with this whole idea, this whole thing, I've gone through it. We talk about it here on the podcast often, my program Project CEO, which is what this is, like, this is how I got there, is doing the work inside that program. First, because it was my life, and then I created a program off of it. But this isn't going to change the fact that microaggressions are going to happen. And there's no definitive research that says developing a positive reputation or doing what I call create a personal operating system is going to completely eliminate microaggressions. But I do believe that when you are self-aware, when you have set appropriate boundaries, when you manage expectations, and when you are teaching people how to treat you, you can significantly influence the outcome when you have these microaggressive experiences, and then you can mitigate their impact, okay, whenever they do occur. So first, what I want to do is look at microaggression, because you may be listening to this right now thinking, Andrea, what do you mean by microaggression? I hear this term often, but I don't know what it means. What does it mean, right? Well, I am so glad you asked. I'm going to give you the definition of microaggression, and then I'm going to tell you what I believe being self-aware can, how being self-aware can drastically improve the interactions when they occur. Okay. So I looked it up. I'm going to read it so that I don't get it wrong. But a microaggression, these are a statement, action, or incident regarded as an instance of indirect, subtle, or unintentional discrimination against members of a marginalized group, such as a racial or ethnic minority. Microaggression is a term used for commonplace verbal, behavioral, or environmental slights, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative attitudes toward members of marginalized groups. Now, there is someone who did a little research. I think his name is Darold Wing. And he actually created some subcategories for microaggression. And the three types are micro assaults, micro insults, and micro validations. Now, I decided to come up with some examples, and I started off, believe it or not, looking up. I typed in examples of microaggression, and I found something, and I was like, oh, I was going through them, and I was like, girl, wait a minute. I have my own examples. I have to read this. Let me give them the real deal, Holyfield. So, let me give you some of these examples, okay? And if you hear anything that reminds you of something that you said, or it reminds you of something that you've heard, girl, I need you to get that under control, okay? I need you to stop. Recognize it for what it is. I understand your intentions may have been pure, but if you're doing anything like this, stop. Because it means someone's probably going home offended and they're not prepared with the self-awareness and all of that to be able to address it in the moment. Okay. So, and the other side of that coin is maybe there is someone who is self-aware enough to address it, but they're just not going to do it politely and you're not going to like the way it is done. So if you find of the three examples that I have here that I have personally dealt with, if you find that you've said any version of these things, check yourself. Okay. I did a video a couple of weeks ago where I was saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay. I had a whole rap. You got to go check that out on my YouTube channel. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into some of these examples. So the first one is, I don't see color. I don't see color. Okay. This is an offhanded remark, and it might not seem that bad. It might not seem racist, but it is. It highly, highly, highlights and addresses these underlying biases that many of us have when it comes to race and culture. Because you know, we all see color. You can look at this video. If you've seen me anywhere, you know I'm black. You know, you can't look past that and see my red. Okay. So we do see color. And the fact that we're mentioning it, depending on who you're talking to, can be offensive. Because the person that you're talking to is like, girl, yes, you do. And you make decisions based on it. Really? You know? And the thing is especially for me, the area that I'm in is that I have heard this before, you know, people who, oh my God, I love you, blah, 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 blah. We might be having a conversation and they might say, oh, I don't see color. And then that begs the question, okay, well, then why are you making some of the decisions that you're making if you don't see color? This is just my own personal experience because I've seen where people are making decisions. And not that I'm the best at anything, but I know that some of the decisions that are being made, they're not being made based on ability. I'm gonna leave that right there. Okay. Another example is you speak so well. This has happened to me after I've done a presentation. And it seems people are surprised that I can, you know, command a room and speak intelligently and do a presentation and, you know, it be a very smart presentation. I don't know why they struggle with it, child, but listen. This comment is spoken as if it's uncommon for a person of color to be educated and be able to speak proper English. So it can be offensive because I don't hear them saying that to other people. Oh, wow, you speak so well. I have listened to women and men who don't look like me get up on stage, and I mean recently, like recently, get up on stage. And I am so confused by how they got up on that stage because the presentation did not say anything. And the things that they did say was primarily a sales pitch for a book product. It was not to provide valuable information. And so I just wonder, how is it that this is happening? Yet when I get up and provide value and offer answers to questions that I've received, that I know people have, I met afterwards with, oh my gosh, that was so good. You speak so well. Highly offensive. Let's move on to example number three. This one is the one that I think gets under my skin the most. And God be praised, I don't look the way I used to look. I've found, I maybe unlocked something that is helping me to do better, be better, feel better, look better. But I have heard, but you have such a beautiful face. Did you hear that? Like the but you have such a beautiful face. It's the butt. It's the butt. This typically happens. This was happening when I was heavier, and it felt like fat shaming, right? Like your face is beautiful, but the rest of you, that's what people hear. Okay. So if you find yourself in the presence of someone who maybe is not as, thin as you're accustomed to, but they do have a beautiful face, don't say, but you have such a beautiful face. Because it sort of negates the rest of their body. It sort of like offends the fact that the only part of them that's pretty is their face. And that is just insulting. Okay. So don't do that. These are examples of microaggressions. Sometimes they're done intentionally. Sometimes they're not done. Maybe they are done very intentionally. Maybe you're trying to say something that you just, are too chicken to say. I'll say that. Okay. But these are all examples, like I said, of the behavior that needs to be addressed at the time it is happening. But I believe that this is not the case. People are not addressing it at the time that it's happening because either they are trying to be too polite. Maybe they're afraid to say something, or maybe they don't have the capacity to respond with clear, concise language that teaches people how to treat them. That takes me to my next point. Now, I talked to you about what microaggression is. I gave you a little story about my silliness, okay? But let's talk about my next point, and that is the benefit of self-awareness. And then we'll get into the relationship it has to these microaggressions, because I think that this last point that I made about not having the capacity to respond with clear, concise language that teaches people how to treat them at the time of the microaggression, this is a point that I believe has allowed me to handle these types of microaggressions in real time. And it's because I believe in, first of all, I'm self-aware. I know how to manage the volume of my personality. I know that I can be a bit much for people, but I also know that there are times when I have to dial myself down. There are times when I don't care what you think, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. And then there are times when I think I need to dial myself up because you don't get it. Now, I can kind of filter myself even when I'm dialed up, but I think these are instances when these microaggressions happen where I do find that I dial myself up just a tick, because it's important for me that that people treat me the way I want to be treated. And they recognize that if they want to be in my presence. And listen, everybody doesn't have to be. I'm not saying that I'm all that. I'm just saying, if we're going to be cool, there's just certain things that you need to know that I will and I will not tolerate, which goes back to that personal framework that I talked about and creating that structure so that you can develop a personal operating system, because it's that personal operating system that people are going to be interacting with. And that's how they're going to know who you are. The personal framework is how you do the work for yourself so that you can identify your strengths, limitations, desires, and non-negotiables. Your personal operating system is how you apply those things, that personal framework to your life for consistent behaviors that develop a reputation about who you are so that you can teach people how to treat you and how to interact with your system. So when I run into these microaggressions, and the reason that I can say that, yeah, you might run up on me with one, but you're not gonna run up on me with two. Because by the first time we will have had a conversation, well, you'll know who I am and where I stand on certain subject matters right after you make your comments. Now, I will be very respectful, and we'll get to that in a moment, but you will know. You will know. Okay. So let's take a look at these this next point that I want to make, and that is the benefit of self-awareness. Where, because if you cannot lead yourself, if you cannot manage you, then it's going to be very difficult for you to manage other people, for you to lead other people, because the same skill sets that you use to manage yourself, hopefully, if you have those skill sets, are the same skill sets that you are going to need to apply when you are leading other people. Now, the situations are going to change a bit, but the concepts of knowing how to lead yourself are going to be quite similar to the concepts of knowing how to lead other people. Self-awareness is where you get the fuel that you need to respond to these microaggressions with courage, with confidence, and with clarity. Okay. That those three things come from you being self-aware. Again, as leaders, we cannot lead other people unless we know how to be clear, clear in our communication, clear in our delegation, clear, okay, in our intentions and our purpose. We cannot be good leaders to other people if we do not have the courage to actually do it. And the courage, as Brené Brown tells us, comes from being vulnerable and knowing ourselves and what we need to do and be our best so that we can operate accordingly, be transparent when necessary, be vulnerable when necessary, so that we can get the buy-in from our people. Again, self-awareness, self-awareness. You can respond to these microaggressions with clarity. Because you know who you are and you know what you're bringing to the table, and since you are standing on business. So it's undeniable. Okay. The knowledge gained from knowing what you need to do and be your best, this is what is going to inform your ability to set appropriate boundaries, to manage the expectations of yourself and others, and it's going to give you the framework you need to teach people how to treat you. So let's look at these three things because there are benefits to boundaries, setting expectations, and teaching people how to treat you. And this all goes back to how you're going to handle these microaggressions. But self-awareness is important, okay? Because you have to be able to set appropriate boundaries, manage appropriate expectations, and teach people how to treat you. So the benefit of boundaries is that you have emotional resilience. Okay, it means you can bounce back. Okay, you set a boundary and you set yourself up for success here. Also, you can have an enhanced sense of well-being when you set boundaries. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Boundaries are to protect what is on the inside. When you are self-aware, you are protecting what you know about yourself. So, in doing so, you are enhancing your well-being. Also, it is going to help you create and form healthier relationships because people respect boundaries. Think about children. Children, they don't like discipline, but they kind of need discipline because the discipline sets the boundaries for what the right and wrong in the household. And when they know how far they can go, even though they may not like it when they're young, when they get older, it's very helpful. My children, my youngest is 22. And she will call me or she'll text me and say, "Hey, do you mind? I'm gonna go hang out with my friend when I get off work." She's not asking my permission. She's 22. She doesn't need to, but respectfully, because she lives in her home, she recognizes that there are certain boundaries that have been set. So she respects the boundaries. Okay. So it develops healthier relationships. Now, what are some benefits of managing expectations? Well, when you manage expectations, it improves your communication. People know what to expect. They know what your intentions are, what your purpose is, and they can communicate a little bit better. You can communicate a little bit better because you can say to someone very clearly and concisely what you expect of them. You can tell someone what they can expect of you very clearly, very concisely. Another benefit of managing expectations is you will make better decisions, okay? When you know what to expect of yourself, where your strengths are, what your limitations are, what it is you actually want, and where your non-negotiables lie, if you are looking at decisions through that lens, you'll make a better decision. You'll make a decision that not only plays to your strengths, but it'll minimize your weaknesses. It'll go towards something that you actually want, and it'll mitigate any challenges that lie within that non-negotiable space. I know it sounds simple. It does require work. Self-awareness requires work, which is why I created Project CEO. Also, managing expectations, it just minimizes stress, honey. People know, like, are you that person that doesn't like to say no? Okay, let me give you an example. I don't really care about saying no. I can say it very easily. However, this is an example of when you may have trouble saying no. Sometimes things happen on Sunday and my friends want to go hang out, do the things, da 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 da. Knowing that we have to go to work on Monday, right? But they will call, you know, they might call you and be like, hey, do you want to go hang out? Blah, blah, blah. And you are tired and you have been fighting with the kids on Saturday at soccer games or baseball games or whatever it is, lacrosse, whatever your family does. And you just do not want to be bothered. You want to go to church on Sunday and you want to come home. You want to put your pajamas back on and you want to crawl in your bed and watch Hallmark movies. Okay. That is definitely me. But because you can't say no, because you've not managed expectations, you have these people that are calling you and then you feel bad. You don't want to say no. So you get up, you go do the thing, tired, irritated. You come home and you complain because you did the thing, even though you didn't want to do the thing. Sound familiar? Okay. Well, when you manage your expectations, when you manage the expectations of other people, this is how this would go for me. My friends would not call me to do anything on a Sunday because I've managed their expectations and I've taught them how to treat me. They know, number one, I don't like driving. So if it's somewhere far, I'm not going to want to do it. Number two, they know that Sundays are off limits unless it is something that is very important and you are very loved, because my friends know that I do not do things on Sundays. So I've managed expectations. And guess what? That reduces my stress because now I don't feel like I have to go out when I don't want to because I can't say no. Okay. Now let's look at how teaching people how to treat you can be beneficial. And I love this one because one thing I'll say is that you can't teach people how to treat you if you don't know how to treat yourself. If you are still treating yourself poorly, even though I say bad things to myself sometimes, and I'm working on that, believe me, I still recognize that I'm saying bad things and I will get on myself about saying bad things about myself. So I'm teaching me how to treat me. Okay. I'm trying to reverse and change that negative tape. But when you teach people how to treat you, you become more empathetic, okay? And other people are less selfish. So I often choose to, instead of like being all nasty and like going off on somebody, this is where I talked about my ability to make sure that the next time this person rolls up on me, they aren't going to do that microaggressive thing, because I kind of nipped it in the bud when we first meet. So oftentimes if people, like the first time they say something that I feel is a microaggression, I nip it in the bud by educating them in a casual way. And I try, maybe I'll do it in a fun way, depending on the person, depending on whether I believe it was intentional or like a sly remark or something like that. Or I'll say something in a way that lets them know that I recognize what they did and I don't appreciate it, so they won't do it again. When you teach people how to treat you, you become less triggered by these instances also. You're not as surprised by them and you don't like getting your feelings about them so much, because you recognize that from the self-awareness component that this is their issue. It's not your issue. I am an African-American female. I am a double minority. It would be ridiculous to expect that there aren't going to be racists and sexists out there who don't believe I belong wherever it is that I am. Okay. So we know that. We're not surprised by it. So I'm not going to allow it to trigger me. Okay. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show up as my best self, and I am going to demand the room so that when you do approach me, it's either going to be respectfully, with curiosity, or with trepidation. Because I'm standing on excellence. Also, you're going to be more discerning and you're going to make better decisions about who you surround yourself with in the first place. Sometimes we're operating in the wrong room. Maybe you think about that. Also, you become more confident because you recognize your worth. Again, that self-awareness piece. You know that you're enough and you don't really concern yourself with what other people think about you. And you're able to then, handle these microaggressions with grace and sophistication. What happens when you do this is that it takes the aggressor, the person with the microaggression, it takes them off guard. And this is just a bonus. When you can come back at them nice, nasty, with a very professional and sophisticated response that takes them off of their game, girl, that's a bonus. I like watching that. It's like I could eat popcorn and just watch that show. Okay, but that means you have done the work, the self-awareness work, and now you are in a position to teach people how to treat you. Okay, so now that you've done this work and you've established a reputation for standing on business, operating in excellence, this is what could possibly play out, right? This is something that might play a role in your ability to mitigate these microaggressions in the first place. Okay, so the first one is if you have done the work, self-awareness, you have set your boundaries, you've managed expectations, you have become very self-aware. Now you can begin fostering supportive environments. So if you show up as your best self and more inclusive, it creates a space where those microaggressions really can't exist. And this goes back to surrounding yourself with the right people. And I actually did a video where I talk about owning your hustle. And in it, I give you 5 to 6 characteristics of the things that you should be looking for in the people that you surround yourself with. So I will link that video down below so that you can check that out because I do give you some examples. It's not necessarily a specific person, but it's the characteristics within these people that you should look for and surround yourself with. And I think if you do that, you can firstly minimize these microaggressions because you're surrounding yourself with people who just wouldn't do it in the first place. And you begin to recognize your own value. So then you will think that, you deserve having this level or this caliber of person around you. And you don't have to tolerate, deal with, or surround yourself with the people who would do these microaggressions. And you may even find that people that you surround yourself with are defenders and they don't allow it. Like you may not have to say a word. That's happened to me before as well. Another thing that might play a role in helping to mitigate these microaggressions is to increase the respect and trust that you have. Now, when I was looking at this, in the article, it said the message for this idea was a stronger reputation built on fairness and equity can lead others to be more mindful of their interactions and less likely to engage in subtle biases. Well, I struggled with this because oftentimes the microaggression is directed at me. And I don't believe that it's my responsibility to be fair and equitable. If you're coming at me with some mess like that, then why do I need to spare your feelings and my reaction? Now, granted, I am going to be professional and I am going to be as sophisticated as possible. But girl, no, you don't get the fair. You don't get the equitable. You get the business. Nice, nasty, of course. So that you are educated and know that this is not a conversation. This is not an activity that I'm going to allow in my circle, that I'm going to tolerate. So I think that that needs to be addressed. So my thought is that our reputation should be above reproach because when we demonstrate our abilities and our value, that needs to be respected. Okay. So we should be met with respect and trust. That's how I should be approached, with respect and trust. Your microaggression needs to be left at home when you are in my presence. So therefore, the equity and the fairness that you need to bring that with you, and then you'll be met with that. Our response should be clear and concise, but again, professional. sophisticated, but direct. My concern really isn't with the feelings of the person that, you know, decides that they want to behave in this way or to offend me. But as I mentioned in a previous podcast, I will be the bigger person, but I'm going to educate you in doing so. The next thing that will play a role in helping to mitigate microaggression is enhanced self-efficacy. And this simply just means is that you just need to do the work, become self-aware so that you know how to navigate these treacherous life waters when they come with effectiveness and with efficiency. Exude excellence, show up. That's what this season is about. It is about empowering, educating, and encouraging my minority, marginalized individuals to exude excellence, be self-aware, know what you need to do and be your best, stand on business. You'll be better equipped to navigate these waters, these challenging conversations, and you'll be able to take proactive steps to prevent situations from happening a little bit easier. You're not going to be able to get rid of them, but as you encounter them, when you are self-aware, when you are exuding excellence, when you are standing on business, when you know your value, you can then communicate effectively and efficiently, clearly and concisely, the fact that you will not entertain that type of behavior. Therefore, that person won't try that with you again. I've tried it. Kind of helps. It works for me. The next thing that may play a role in mitigating these microaggressions is the potential to affect change. Once you are like showing your value, you are walking in excellence, you are exuding this excellence, you are standing on business, people are respecting you, your reputation is preceding you, people are appreciative of the things that you're bringing to the table. Okay, once you get to that place, being self-aware, having boundaries and teaching people how to treat you when you've done the work, you can own your awesome. And with this confidence and resolve, you're better positioned to influence policies and procedures and practices wherever you are that will address this systematic bias. You'll be able to advocate for diverse voices, challenge inequitable systems, and you could be a part of the solution by lending your voice to a wider cultural conversation that reduces the prevalence of microaggressions in the first place. Now, I said this at the beginning of this podcast. I believe self-awareness, boundaries, expectations, and teaching people how to treat you can significantly influence the outcome of microaggression encounters and mitigate their impact when they do occur. While this isn't a solution to the problem, it's not going to get rid of these microaggressions, it can act as an effective strategy for fostering a more respectful environment, and it can have an empowering effect when addressing microaggressions when they arise. Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the CEO Mindset Podcast. Listen, over here, we are constantly evolving and being open to failing forward. I believe this season is designed just for that. I want us to evolve here. I want us to evolve into a state of excellence. I want us to stand on our business. I want us to be self-aware, and I want us to be a part of a solution, not a part of a problem. And that means we have to show up as our best. We have to know what that best is. And the best way for us to know that is to be self-aware. The best way to be self-aware is to be introspective and to do the work. If you are beyond that and you want some real like meat, some good, then I suggest that you get on the waitlist for my program, Project CEO, because that's where I'm talking about these things with detail. And we have exercises and conversations and discussions and all kinds of things. So I suggest that you check that out as well. But that does it for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you back here again next week. Listen, every Tuesday, a podcast episode drops on my YouTube channel. And every Wednesday, a brand new podcast episode will air, an audio version. So wherever you're listening or watching, have a great rest of your day. And I'll be back again next week. Bye.